Blog Talk Radio.
I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercise.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP Yoga.
Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around, it's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP Yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP Radio.
High five.
Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to another episode of DDP Radio Live right here at DDPRadio.com. As always, my name is Mike Mullins, broadcasting live from the tip-top floor of the DDP Radio Megaplex in beautiful Raleigh, North Carolina. And, as usual, the Rolls Royce pulls into the spot. They let me out. The red carpet rolls down the aisle. I hop into my VIP elevator that has a little glass of champagne, a couple of violinists in the corner, get me in the right headspace for DDP Radio. And we go all the way up to the top floor, the tippy-top floor, and opened up to the executive suite where my humble office and clubhouse is, and I ascend the stairs to the rooftop all the way, and there's an orchestral playing me through, climbing the rung by rung, John Williams, the most beautiful scores in the world, singing to my ascension as I get to the top of the tower, and I look to the great white north, and I don't see Crystal. I'm like, where is she? She's always here before me. And I look, and I call the mounted police and say, mounted police, we need a search for Crystal. She's obviously been abducted by beavers, Canadian tundra. But then, out of nowhere, is a glimpse of light, a red fiery soul that illuminates the sky, and it touches the light of GDP Radio and blows worldwide. And I'm happy to see you, my friend, Crystal. How are you?
I was a little party to the party, apparently. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, you actually got in just in the nick of time, but I'm always the one that's always, like, flying in last second, so I was a little concerned. Because, like, if we're, like, say we're a band, you're the old reliable person that's there, sober. She shows up sober. She knows all her parts and is well-rehearsed. And I'm the drunken Axl Rose showing up 4 hours late, like forgetting the lyrics to Sweet Child of Mine as I stumble onto stage just in time and then act like I did my equal part while being the most irresponsible person in the room. But I'm glad that you're here with us.
I'm glad to be here. We're in the midst of a snowstorm, so it's just been a messy, right? I mean,
wow. We
have more snow now than we did a month ago. Oy. Crazy.
Yeah, it's been a pretty mild season up there from what I've heard. My family's up right on the border of Canada in the New England area, and they were telling me how much they didn't get snow this year, which is pretty unusual. But now probably from talking, they're going to have that rebound effect where they're going to make you pay for it the last few days of spring.
Right. Way to go, Mike.
All right. Well, let's get this show on the road. I know that you're probably getting here right in the nick of time because you're always so working hard at filling up this show with amazing guests and booking and doing all the fun stuff. And I just come here for the last, like, nothing and be like, hey, what's up, everybody? But you're out there doing the hard work. And I know for a fact that you booked us a hell of a guest here tonight. So I'm going to hand the reins over to you and let you tell us all about our Warrior of the Week and our guest for this week's BDP Radio.
Sure. So we welcome this week's warrior to the show, Kenny Dunn. Battles come in every shape and size, which is evident by all the amazing people that Mike and I have the pleasure to talk to every week. The difference is the fight and the story that they tell themselves. There are more than two options of sink or swim. There's also float, although you don't get much done that way. The most challenging thing that you can do, sorry, my screen just went blank. The most important thing that you can do is show up despite the difficulty, the frustration, or whatever excuse that you may be telling yourself. I'm not sure that there is a finish line in this race, but I am 100% sure that the rent is due every single day. Please welcome Kenny Dunn as this week's Warrior of the Week.
Am I here? Hey, Crystal, Mike,
hey,
thank you so much for inviting me on your show. I'm just so, so excited, so beside myself just to even be on this program. And may I say, what a nice facility. I mean, the elevator music was good, and it just went all the way to the top. They were making me a gooey blender drink in the green room, and then Crystal called me in, and so I couldn't enjoy it. So maybe I'll catch one on the way out, but I'm just...
Well,
I'm
are glad to have you, and we'll make sure you get a smoothie on the way out. So
appreciate that.
How are
take
you, man?
To go.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am great. I don't think I could be better at this point. You caught me at such a perfect time. Crystal booked me back in January, and I work on call for the railroad, so I just never know when I'm going to be at work. And, you know, making appointments, scheduling things is just a nightmare for me because I never know when I can make a time commitment. So I booked it for tonight because I'm going to be running my first 50-mile ultra marathon the day after tomorrow, so I knew I would be off work tonight. And so this is a perfect opportunity to be able to talk about fitness and my journey because everything has led me to this place right here.
Awesome.
Well, I can't wait to hear about the ultra marathon and everything. And I know I come from a railroad family. My grandfather and my dad both worked engineers for Boston and Maine Railroad up in New England. So I know how that business works, and it's hard to plan things ahead. So.
That's awesome. That's what I do also. I'm a locomotive engineer.
Oh, man, I love it. Yeah. I have a lot of stories from growing up around trains, so we'll have a lot of fun tonight. But we always start out with one question, and that standard question is, every superhero, every warrior has an origin story. So, like, tell us how you got here. Tell us where you come from, what you do, and what brought you to the point where you decided to really try to make DDPY a part of your life.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm from Washington State, was born and raised here in Vancouver, Washington, and I was an obese kid. I was struggling with obesity my whole life, and I was always jealous of people who had physical abilities, kids that could run fast, kids that could, you know, were good at sports. But I was also more of a couch potato, and, you know, it's hard to be a couch potato and be into sports at the same time. You kind of have to choose one or the other. So as an adult, I was over 300 pounds. I got almost up to 350. I was wearing size 50 pants. And in my mid-20s, I said I'd had enough. I tried losing weight many different ways, and so I decided to go for the nuclear option, and I got gastric bypass surgery. So I was about 28 years old at the time. I got gastric bypass and I lost a significant amount of weight. I went from almost 350 down to about 190.
Wow.
I had no muscle mass. I lost a lot of muscle in that process. And one of the worst parts that I gained from that was I developed a drinking problem. And having gastric bypass is very dangerous because you're bypassing two stages of digestion. So every drink of alcohol that you take, it's like drinking on an empty stomach, no matter what. And couple that with the body weight going away, it's just kind of a recipe for disaster. So in my 30s, I became an alcoholic, and I struggled for a lot of years. Anybody who knew me can attest. I was in real bad shape. And I finally had a breaking point, a rock bottom, so to speak, and I got sober at 34 years old. That was 11th of November 2016. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I've been sober ever since. And I, you know, went to the meetings. I did the work. I got a sponsor. I work with other alcoholics, and I did the whole thing. And I still do it to this day. Unfortunately, when you quit drinking, you do look for other vices. So then the weight started coming back on. And so I gained back a significant amount of the weight that I had lost. So I got up to about 250 pounds. Well, being in sobriety, being in recovery, and having recovery on the mind, you know, you kind of look for things, look for little ways that you can improve your life. And that led me to the Joe Rogan podcast, where I heard Jake the Snake Roberts on, and he started talking about DDP yoga. And Jake is in recovery, and, you know, he used a lot of language. You see, in we don't just straight up say we're in recovery. We don't say the name of the organization that got us sober because, you know, it's kind of in the traditions not to. So we put up these little flags to other people in recovery, the subtle language, so that we recognize each other, talking about things like one day at a time and, you know, talking about having a disease of alcoholism. And so I'm like thinking, you know, Jake speaks in my language. And if he says that DDP yoga is good for him, then it's good for me. And so I downloaded the app in December of 2018, and I have been doing it ever since. And boy, you want to talk about a journey. for anybody who, you know, has the will to stay consistent, this program, you know, DDPY will take you on the most amazing journey you have ever been on. I never in my wildest fantasies would have imagined it would have taken me to the places that it's taken me today.
Wow. It's such a cool story because here you are, you've had, you know, you've bettered your life in a lot of different ways, and it's almost come in different stages. You know, you've got the gastric, and then you've got the alcoholism, and you kind of, you know, overcame that, and then the food addiction, and here you are. It's such a great, like, it's a perspective of life that just because you got a problem, like, doesn't mean there's not going to be one behind you, and it's a really important lesson to learn. That I bet when you got that the gastric, you thought, well, that's the solution to all my problems. If I lost the weight, I'm done. But there's always something that's going to pop up, and they don't really a lot of times teach you how to deal with the ongoing problems. They tell you if you solve this problem, it's all golden. But here you are going through these different stages of hardship, and you're developing ways to overcome things in a different way for each, you know, stage, which is a pretty important and helpful way of looking at life. How did you kind of navigate that? And when you first got your gastric, did you think, well, that's the solve, you know, all my problems? And how did it feel when you realized there's a lot more roadblocks ahead and learning the skills to overcome them?
Well, I did privately think that it was going to solve all my problems. On the outside, I was like, oh, of course, this is just a tool, you know, and I have a lot of other work to do, just like they said. They said, this is only a tool. You have a lot of other things you're going to have to take care of, including an eating disorder, which you most certainly have. I agreed to that stuff on the outside. But inside, I was like, nah, this is good. I can deal with everything else myself. And it was really trying to deal with things on my own, which was my main pitfall. And that was the real difference that being in the DDPY community made for me, as opposed to all the other times I tried to lose weight leading up to then, including the gastric bypass, was it wasn't just about the app. It wasn't just about the workouts. It wasn't just about Dallas. it was about the community, and I'm talking about the Facebook community here. You know, we get to know each other. We build each other up. We give each other advice, sometimes unsolicited. And, you know, we don't tend to really BS each other. It's like one thing that remains consistent is that we remind each other that if you put in the work, you get the results. And if you don't put in the work, or you're not willing to put in the work, then, you know, at what point are you going to be willing? And that sense of community, that sense of tribalism, if you will, was the real thing that made the change for me, because I had to step out of my own comfort zone. I had to step out of my own way of doing things. And that was how I got sober. I had to do things somebody else's way, not my way. My way got me to that point. And so I had to start doing the way that they had me doing it in recovery. And I kind of adopted that mentality when I went into the DDPY program and into the DDPY community, was if I keep doing things my own way, I'm just going to keep getting the same results, which in most cases was failure, you know? So like, I don't know, that was just the real difference for me. And I don't discourage anybody who is looking into gastric bypass from getting it. If somebody decides after researching that that's what they, is good for them, you know, I can support that. But if I knew then what I know now, and if I was as mature as I am now after having come all this way, I wouldn't have made that decision. But I wasn't mature at the time. And, you know, I was eating myself to death. So I really wasn't left with a whole lot of options, given my understanding of my situation at the time.
So, Kenny, I was just wondering, how important was being transparent for you in your journey? Because I know sometimes it's so hard just to, you know, explain to someone, look, I'm not in a good place, or, you know, I'm struggling with this, or whatever the case may be. Was that really hard?
Yeah, of course it was. It's hard to be honest when it comes to our own flaws, our own defects. And I had to, in recovery, I had to identify all my character defects, even the really bad ones, even the ones that I was really, really embarrassed by. And so I was used to having that stuff on the outside. I was used to living a life that demanded rigorous honesty. And so maybe that's why it worked for me so well when I just plugged right into the DDPY program, was I was prepared to be honest with myself, to give myself a fearless evaluation of my situation and be willing to do things one day at a time. And, you know, transparency is a big part of that. You can't, you know, you can't just do this program and lie to yourself and go, oh, well, you know, I can do 10 minutes of this a day and I'm going to be fine. You know, it's like, yeah, sure, that 10 minutes a day is good and consistent, but, you know, we need to take steps forward. You can't just, you know, stay stagnant like that.
Yeah,
and so,
I agree.
You know, transparency played a big role, but I was used to that. I mean, I had been forced to embrace those principles of transparency and honesty in order to stay sober. It was a requirement. And I wanted nothing more in the world than to get sober and stay sober. And so I adopted that lifestyle right away when I knew I had no other option because I was drinking myself to death. So, you know, these things like when Dallas says, don't forget to do this tomorrow, I was like, okay, all right, great. Because, you know, he only says that at the end of a workout. So you've already worked out when he says that to you. So I was like, all right, I got something done today. I'm going to do this tomorrow. Those were easy principles for me to understand. And it's a simple program. That's what I like about DDPY too. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Yeah, good point.
You talked about, you know, the impact that you know, addiction recovery and stuff had on your, you know, quote unquote journey. So with DDP, he kind of has like this this hard ass, almost drill instructor like mentality to him. He's very, and if you talk to him in person, he doesn't accept excuses. He does, you know, he'll listen to you, but he's not somebody you can pull the wool over his eyes. in recovery, I've never been in recovery. Thankfully, I haven't had that issue in my life, but I've known a lot of people who have. And one thing about addicts and ex-addicts is their bullshit detector works really well. And a lot of addicts can tell when you're trying to pull one over on them or try to come up with excuses. And, you know, being in recovery, you know if you're not being honest, you're wasting your time and everyone in the room's time. So there's this kind of authenticity that comes out in those meetings only because you can't get away with what you normally would. How do you think, you know, when you listen to DDP and you hear the people in the community being helpful, but also, you know, calling it like it is, how do you kind of navigate that, and how do you think that relates to addiction and also success in the program?
Well, yeah, if there's one thing I can give Dallas for sure is that he only has time for people who put in the work, and he's very good at identifying those people. Much in the same way that an addict knows another addict, you know, which was why I, you know, resonated so much with Jake the Snake. But it's like you start talking about Dallas. Dallas is like Willy Wonka. When you meet Willy Wonka, Dallas, it is so hard to get a read on him. It's really, I mean, and I don't like to put Dallas up on a pedestal because he's a guy just like any other person, you know, where everybody's, you know, a human being. But when you meet him, you're like, man, this guy is mysterious, you know? but that also makes, it's almost like I really don't want to try and bullshit this person because I feel like he's going to, you know. And so, like, it's like the keys to the kingdom are through the work. And that's really the only language that Dallas speaks is the work. And he certainly has time. He wants to hear about people's successes and he wants to hear about people's hardships. But that really is, in this community, the thing that binds us all together is the people who are willing to put in the work. You know, that's what makes this community go around. Not people, we can kind of spot fakes in amongst ourselves just because we know what it takes to be successful around here.
Yeah, you can't be allergic to sweat.
Yeah, you can't be allergic to sweat, and you do have to be fearless. I mean, you know, and we smell a lot of BS sometimes. For, you know, sometimes newcomers, they come in and they go, "Hey, I did, you know, I did the program for 30 days and I've lost 50 pounds." And you think, okay, well, you know, somebody's trying to get Dallas's attention, and you know, I mean, like, I would like to think that he would be onto something like that, but. You know, the work really, you know, the truth really does come out through the work. That's just kind of the thing that sets us apart from the people who are just kind of here to see what's going on and the people who are really willing to put in the hours and change their lives and own their lives.
Yeah, not to mention there are so many of us that are on this side helping Dallas. So, you know, where he can't be, we are. So, you know, we get maybe different aspects or different views of, you know, everything that goes on.
Yeah. I know I've told Steve you this. I might have actually told Dallas this when I was there for Champions Week, but I don't think that, you know, I don't think that DDPY is a magic pill. I think what DDPY is a magic formula. And I think the magic formula has as much to do with the community as it has to do with Dallas and the program that he put together. You know, because, yeah, you have an exercise program, but there's lots of exercise programs. You can take your pick, Google exercise program, and there's thousands of them. So, you know, DDPY is one of them. Okay, but then you have Dallas, which is a novelty. You don't have a celebrity or, a wrestling hero, a Hall of Famer, who's the face man of a workout program. I mean, there's just, you know, you can take your look around and you're not going to find many others that are quite like that. But the thing that really makes this like a force multiplier is this positive community of people who, you know, no matter how hard Dallas could have tried, he could not have created that on his own. It happened organically. And that's why I say this is a magic formula, that why this program works so well. It's because Dallas brought what Dallas could bring to the table, but then something really magical happened that was completely outside of his control. And I'm sure that he hoped it would end up like this. I don't know if that he imagined it would. But that's what makes everything so great about DDPY. Why, you know, I continue to pay for the app year after year, and I'm like, absolutely, man, sign me up again. And so, you know, go ahead.
Oh, no, I apologize, man. I was just saying, so when I first started and got involved here, like, Dallas would have everybody in the who was doing the program in a group text. It was so small. That's how many people were, like, doing this. And basically everyone who came here through either wrestling or knew somebody who knew somebody. So it was always mm-hmm. just people coming for Dallas. That's how small it was at first. And at a certain point, the selling point no longer became like Dallas Page's DPY, but we were moving, you know, product and selling programs because people knew people or saw people doing the program. Like I always say, there's no better advertising from the program than to see somebody you know doing well on it or changing their lives or being a different person and happier and healthier. And you say, hey, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, that's the program now. Because people who feel better will tell you about it, and they'll show you, and you'll see it. And that's where it's at now. And, you know, I can't say that Dallas, you know, planned exactly how it would go, but early on there, you know, we'd be driving. I would take them somewhere, and he would tell me, I'm going to get a performance center. I want to do a building here. He laid out so much of this in ahead of time, and everything he did happened. And then through that, better things happened. He started off a Team DDPY social media, his own like Facebook page back in the day, and that started gaining traction. And then that kind of spilled over to Facebook. But like everything that happened, it's a snowball effect. You plant the seeds, and it kind of just keeps going and going. And it's become something so crazy to the point that everyone was a wrestling person at first who was doing this when I first started here.
Yeah.
But now, more people know him through DDPY or know about DDPY than about it through wrestling, and it's wild to see how different it is now.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, yeah, and Dallas really brought that personal touch in those early years. You know, I mean, like he didn't just release a workout and put it out on a VHS like Kathy Ireland or something. I mean, he wanted to know about the people doing it. And, you know, I think that really resonated with people too.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
It's a completely different
animal
now.
Yeah, knowing Dallas will bring you through the door and brought so many of us through the door. But the staying power has been the program itself, and that's been amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, I just realized I left a significant portion of my story out. I kind of ended where I started DDPY. So when I started doing DDPY, you know, I lost a bunch of weight, and I started looking good, and I got that 100,000-point shirt in the mail, and I was really excited about that. So I had this thing where I took a picture of myself when I was 24 hours sober. They gave me a 24-hour coin in recovery. I took a picture of myself. I was hungover. I looked like garbage. And I just wanted to remember how I felt. So I took a picture. And then when I got my 30-day sober coin, I took another picture. And I was like, nah, I look a little bit better. And every time they gave me a coin, I took a selfie in the bathroom. And so I took a picture of me at about 3 years sober in the mirror with that DDPY shirt on. And I showed a side-by-side of me at 24 hours sober and me at 3 years sober with a DDPY shirt on, and it freaking broke the internet. Like, it, you know, journalists were calling me, and they were writing articles, and then people started posting the articles on the DDPY page, on the Facebook page, and it kind of got me recognized for a couple of minutes. And that was really neat because I was kind of a, like a, you know, 24-hour internet celebrity which was essentially as good as doing drugs. So
oh, man,
I got to get high for a day.
Man.
Well,
that's
it was. I mean, it certainly was, and it's become a tradition of mine that every year when I get a coin, I take a selfie, and I've been getting much more gutsy with my pictures and, you know, taking it with my shirt off.
But social media, I mean, I don't really enjoy social media anymore. But those things are the things that really, like, that those are meaningful. I always say, you know, when you're sober, when you're working out, the true change in someone is in their eyes. You can see it in their eyes when somebody's a different person or they're feeling better like a different person. The weight, the muscles, the abs, those are all great. But you look in the eyes and you really see a different person. And some, you know, during my darkest moments when I was really just in bad shape and I was sick and overweight, if I go back to those pictures and look in my eyes, that's my reason for not going back there, because I remember how that guy felt. That's like a moment, snapshot in time where you're really just, you know, at your worst. And I think it's really important to keep those and to keep those pictures to show yourself, if not for anybody else, what it was before. That reminder is very important.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people want to forget their past. They want to forget the person that they used to be. And not only do I not want to forget it, that person's me. I am every single iteration that you see in those photographs. You know, I'm the drunk who reached out for help, and I'm the 350-pound guy, and I'm the obese little kid. I'm all of those things. And I, you know, those people, you know, they live in my head rent-free, and I have to take care of them every day because they're me. And I don't just get to be the person who, you know, I see in the mirror today, a person who's muscular, a person who's fit, a person who, you know, has a belt, a wrestling belt with a name on it. Like, yeah, I'm that, but I am equally those other things. And that's how I don't forget. You know, I embrace who I was at those junctures in my life.
I love that. You know, there's a lot of, like, you know, flowery language quotes and stuff that are I like, and they're nice. But one that I always didn't like was only looking ahead. I always hated that, because I'm like, behind you is the roadmap of every experience, every misstep, everything you've ever done that you learned from is behind you. It's really important to look behind you, or else you're not going to know where the hell you're going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of those parts of my story led me to where I am today. I mean, those are very, very important for me to go back and reevaluate and understand. And it's not like I dwell in the past. You know, I've made peace with a significant portion of my past. But, you know, those things are important lessons. They're important milestones. And, you know, and I kind of like looking back at it. I kind of like, now I look back fondly and go, wow, you've really come through you've really been forged in fire in quite a few ways.
I don't know.
How strong, different you become.
I always think the scars are the best things that come out of all those trials, because, you know, at least they tell a story and they prove that you've survived. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And they are, and, you know, those scars run deep. That was another thing that resonated with me about Jake the Snake Roberts, is that, you know, he was a childhood rape survivor, and so was I. And that's a, you know, knowing the type of guy that Jake is, to go on a podcast, especially the Joe Rogan podcast, where they're busting chops and making jokes and smoking cigars, and, you know, for him to go on and admit something like that, that's such a big part of his life. If only I could tell him, I've never met Jake the Snake, but if only I could tell him how important that was for a rape survivor to be able to hear a guy like him say, hey, I went through this, and, you know, I was okay. It was hard, but I was okay, and I can talk about it now. And that was a big deal for me. That was a big deal for me to hear. So for people like that, people, you know, that I admire, tough guy, macho, you know, it's very difficult for a person like that to be able to admit that they went through something like that. So that was a big deal for me.
You know, it was very telling of this program because at one point, you know, I remember in the beginning, you know, everyone said, oh, you know, what workout are you doing? Are you lifting weights and are you going to the gym and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we're doing yoga. And they're like, what? You wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. And it's kind of the same thing. Once you remove that whole stigma that, you know, hey, you know what? Life happens and sometimes it's not pretty, but that doesn't mean that you need to punish yourself for it. So, you know, I think it lends to your success when you're able to, you know, meet yourself sometimes for the first time.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that because that's a big reason why I got into ultramarathoning. Aside from reading about it and just being totally enamored with the fact that human beings had the capability of doing something like that. When I found out that regular people could do ultra marathons, I'm like, well, I want to do it. If regular people do it, I want to do it. The only problem is I hate running. I also hate people who run. So it's like, you know, not only do I have to do it, but I have to be around people who do it. So, I have to plug myself into the culture. I'm not a runner. I don't like running. I've never even been a runner. Like, I didn't run when I was a young person. But the idea that I could go out and push my body to the absolute limit and really find out who I am inside, whether I really have the ability to fight the voice in the back of my head that says, stop. You've gone far enough. You don't have to go any farther. That's an exciting thing for me. I'm like, wow, I'm really going to go out and battle the ultimate boss, you know, the final demon. I'm going to go out and actually do battle. And it's all in my head. I'm not racing against anybody else, you know. So
how long is an ultramarathon?
Well, technically, an ultramarathon is any distance past the traditional marathon, which is 26.2 miles. So,
good Lord.
Let me take it back a touch. Okay, so I entered the Positively Unstoppable Challenge every single year that they had one. And all of my – every time I entered, I was always like, yeah, six-pack abs I'm going to get this year. And I didn't get six-pack abs. I worked very hard, made great progress in my life, but I never got no six-pack abs. But my aim was off. I was aiming for something that wasn't practical, and it didn't really improve my life that much, and I didn't really want it that bad. So in 2022, I entered my first half marathon. I thought, hey, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to do something I'm not good at. I'm going to run this half marathon. The most I'd ever run in my life was like 5 miles up until that point. So I started training for it, for whatever that's worth. I just went out and would run a mile or two at a time. And a couple of weeks after I entered, my mother got diagnosed with cancer, stage 4 cancer. And so, and it was terminal. It was like, there was no question. She was going to go. It was going to be real soon. And I stopped training. Well, she underwent chemotherapy, and this woman absolutely was just so tough. Through the whole process, she never felt sorry for herself. She never felt self-pity or fear. And just, I mean, what an amazing thing to watch this woman just fight this thing head on. And we lost her the day after Christmas in 2022.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But, you know, I was like, I was just so impressed with my mother's last fight that, well, sorry, during that process, when she was going through it, I decided, because I was going to drop out because, you know, I hadn't been training. I gave up because she had gotten diagnosed with cancer. And so I said, I'm going to run this race. I'm going to do it even though I haven't been training. And I went and ran this thing. I showed up for the starting line. And I ran it in like 2 hours and 10 minutes, which is way faster than a rookie runner should be running an ultra or a half marathon. And I realized at that moment that I was really underestimating myself. I was leaving a lot on the table. And when my mother died in December, I said to myself, what reason do you have to be afraid of your dreams? What reason do you have to not go after your ultimate dreams, like running an ultramarathon? You admire these people who do this. Why don't you do something that you admire? And so I said, screw it. And I was in the hospital with a kidney stone. I was having a kidney stone removed. And I pulled my phone up, and I got on the Positively Unstoppable Facebook page, and I said, I'm going to run an ultramarathon. I mean, I'm in pre-op. I'm in the gown and everything. And they were about to put – maybe they had already given me the drugs. Maybe that's why I committed to it. But I said, I'm going to do this. And then as soon as they got that thing out of me, I got a book on how to run an ultramarathon, and I started training. And in June of last year, 6 months after I made that commitment, I ran my first 50-kilometer ultramarathon, which was 31 miles. And I did it faster than my goal time, and it was great. I mean, really, I just – everything just went great. And because of that, because of overcoming this hurdle in my life and doing something that I didn't believe that I could do before, I was chosen, selected as one of the Positively Unstoppable champions for 2023. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And well, I mean, what a dream come true, because it really wasn't until I believed in myself, I believed that I could do it, that I was ready to finally submit something to DDPY for Positively Unstoppable. So that 31-mile race was in June, and this one I'm running the day after tomorrow is 50 miles.
Good Lord.
So, get the hell off my show.
I'm gonna run it in one stretch. So
wow,
that's
so
great.
That's so inspiring, man.
Yeah, I'm blown away myself that I've come this far. And I mean, I know it sounds crazy for me to say this, but anybody who doesn't have like joint injuries or something like that can do this if they're motivated to. I just had to become motivated to it. I had to want it more than anything in the world. And
there's a power that comes over you when you realize that you can actually achieve your dream. If you think about it, the Olympic running team this year, they all started out on day one with the same amount of experience that you had, or what I had, which is none. And then that doesn't come out of nowhere. People will tell you that you can achieve your dreams, but most people don't want to work for those. They don't want to, you know, put in the effort because it's hard. I was talking to my wife earlier, and I said, you know what? My parents signed me up for piano lessons when I was a kid. And I love rock and roll piano. Like, I love that, like, Rolling Stones, honky-tonk piano, like, in any kind of rock song.
Yeah.
We were listening to something, and I said, man, I really wish I had just stuck with piano. She goes, like, well, why don't you take piano lessons? And I'm like, no, I'd like to learn how to piano. I don't want to know how to piano. You know, there's a difference between – and then you realize, if I work at it right now, I could know piano fluently in 5 years. But there's that commitment, that time, that effort that a lot of people, including myself at times, aren't willing to put in. And for you to go out there, you've been 300 pounds, you know, north of 300 pounds in your past, and here you are starting day one. You're put a little bit – you ran, you kept building it up, and now you're going to be running a 50-mile marathon coming from never being a runner. That just proves that you can do it. You just get the time and the effort, and that's the hard part.
Yeah, and then that really – and just accepting that, you know, I don't have to be Usain Bolt. I can start where I'm at as long as I have the will and the fearlessness to go forward with it, make a plan, and implement a practical program of action one day at a time. And that's really how I tackle everything in my life. And I have all kinds of exciting things I want to do. It's like I want to go back to school. You know, I want to run a 100-mile ultramarathon. Yeah, sure. But, I mean, that's not the only thing that I want to do with my life. There's all kinds of neat things that I'm like, you know, that I'm saying, yes, yes, that sounds cool. I want to figure out how I can do that. And
that's – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, man.
No. Well, I mean, that's just that. That's the way I say it now. Is I say yes and not no. I used to say no about everything. No, that's too hard. So,
well, the changes that you've made, and you know, I'm sure being, you know, an addict and having the weight problem, like you get to a point of hopelessness, and the fact that you want again, the fact that you dream again, you have ideas and you have will, and you know. The helplessness and giving up, like that's the, you know, with addiction and food and everything like that, that's the darkest part, is to have no hope, to have no want, you know. And now you're at a point on the other edge where you're feeling good, you're sober, you're eating healthy, you're getting fit, and all of a sudden you start coming up with things that you want to do, some dreams that you want to achieve. Just having that back in your life must be incredible.
Oh, yeah. I never had that kind of hope in my life. And it is a place of hopelessness. You're absolutely right about that, is addiction. But, you know, nothing in my life will ever be as hard as it was living as an obese man. Nothing in my life will ever be as hard as living as an addict. Those things were hard. That was a hard life. It was hard holding my breath to tie my shoes when I was 350 pounds, you know. It was hard finding pants that fit. You know, I mean, like, those are hard things. Getting up and going for a run in the morning and getting all the endorphins flowing and, you know, just feeling great, ready to tackle the day, that's easy, you know. And it's not like my life isn't full of hardships now, but, like, my life is manageable now. You know, I was at work about a year ago. It was right in the middle of the ultramarathon training, and I was sticking to a very strict running schedule. I mean, I never missed a run, ever, in that time when I was putting together my submission for Positively Unstoppable. And I was working in the middle of the night on the train, and we were going down the track, and I was just exhausted. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I had run like 15 miles about 6 hours before that at night in a hot gym at the hotel. And I was just thinking about how hard everything was, how hard my training was, how hard all this stuff that I signed myself up for. And this sentence just hit me like blindingly in my eyes. And it said, "It's hard when a dreamer becomes a believer." And
ooh,
really, it like branded in my eyes. So like when I closed my eyes, I could still see it. And I took my time book out. We're not allowed to use phones, electronic devices on the train. So I had to take out my engineer's time book, and I wrote it on the timekeeping page in big letters so I wouldn't forget. It's hard when a dreamer becomes a believer. And that's what it took. I had to believe. I had to learn how to stop dreaming and start believing. And man, when you actually start believing you can do these things, holy crap, you can have anything you want. You want it? Yes. Here's the formula of how to get it. And you can do it for anything. You can do it for, I want to clean my room. You can do it for, I want to get a better relationship with my parents. You can do it for, I want to lose 100 pounds. I want to read more books. I want to go back to school. I want to save $1,000. The formula and the process is the same. You just have to believe it.
So, Kenny, I have a question that Mike and I have asked many, many people. It will be very interesting to see how you answer it. What would new Kenny tell old Kenny?
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And you're going to learn some hard lessons. And there's going to be times that are so hard you're not going to want to go on. But just believe. Just believe in yourself. Because you're going to be okay. We're going to get through this together. That's what I would say to me back when it was hard. Absolutely.
Such a great answer.
Well.
Thank you.
That's... You know, it's so powerful, and I'm so glad you stumbled upon that podcast with Jake, and it clicked with you, and, you know, just it's amazing what somebody else's positive story, someone like Jake, can do for people just down the line. Like, it's just, you never know who's going to listen to this and hear your story, and they'll relate to you, and you'll be inspired, and it's just, you know, there's a lot of good going around, you know, and it's, so I've told this story before. When we were, you know, I was at dinner with Steve Yu and DDP, and it was right after that Arthur video had come out, and it started to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake, they were telling me that Jake's in Texas. He really wants to come. He wants to, you know, Dallas wants to move him to Atlanta and start working with him. And I had been a wrestling fan my whole life. I knew people who knew Jake, and I said to Steve, I said, that seems like a bad idea. There's the company is like really growing. It's things are going really well. I think bringing Jake in would be a bit of a headache because of his past. And Steve said, I know, but Dallas really wants to help him, and he really believes in Jake. So I thought it was the dumbest move ever to bring Jake in, knowing his history. And Dallas is one of those guys that put his money where his mouth is. He said, I'm bringing Jake in. And I was completely wrong on that one. And I'll tell everyone for the rest of the days that I was wrong. And the fact that he brought him in, and think of all the people that, you know, saw that documentary or saw that, you know, Joe Rogan thing, and now have improved their lives and saved their lives from that one moment, you know, sprouted a million different transformation stories. And here you are, a living testament to what happens when somebody can just give someone a break. You know, even though you may have exhausted all of your, you know, chances or burned so many bridges, you know, there's always that one shot at turning things around. You've been through it multiple times with the alcoholism, the gastric, the weight gain, the injuries. And here you are now just still bouncing back and another shot to do something incredible with your marathon. And I think it's such a great testament and a great statement of what happens and the amount of good that can come from one person's story. Jake's story made a million other stories, and you're one, and I'm rooting for you, and I'm really excited for you, and I'm really glad to have you on the show. And I'm excited that they'll hopefully come back and talk to us again soon and share what you're up to.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, big time. And you know something? You were right. You were 100% right about Jake. You know, but Dallas believed. And that's the miracle of recovery, is that it is when that person is the most hopeless. It is when everybody has given up 100% on an addict that those miracles happen. And a miracle happened for Jake. And I'm agnostic. I don't believe in miracles, okay? But a miracle saved me because I was hopeless like Jake was. And I don't think you were wrong. I don't think you were wrong. But it really did take that last person that believed, that last person that was left that believed that Jake could do it. And, you know, even when I watched the documentary, I'm like, man, I mean, it's miraculous that he made it through all this after the relapses, after, you know, wanting to quit, you know. And Dallas, you know, I got to hand it to him. He really stuck it out. He really stuck it out when nobody else would have.
And I mean,
and
that's
Buff,
where that
and,
whole.
And,
oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. Oh, no, please.
No,
go
no.
Ahead.
That's where that whole never underestimate the power of believing in someone. That's, you know, yeah. It's proof of the pudding. Yeah.
It is. And he walks the walk. He for sure does. And people like us are the living proof that this isn't just a business. Dallas has a vested interest in people succeeding and making their own dreams come true. So, and meeting Buff, meeting Marcus Bagwell and Scotty Riggs, that was also a real treat to go, I can't believe that these people were able to get cleaned up to this level. This is just so great. I mean, like, man, that smile on Marcus's face, it's, he's in the performance center. He's taking out the garbage and stuff. He's just like, you know, totally being a regular guy and happy and, you know, knowing where he came from, wow. It was really something to behold.
Yeah, and what an unlikely, you know, story. If you guys haven't seen that, which I'm sure you have on YouTube, they posted the Bagwell and Riggs story, and man, what an incredible transformation and journey. And you know, DDP is running a business. He sells the program. He makes a profit from the program. But none of this works if he doesn't believe in it. And I've been around a lot of people in the entertainment business, music people, wrestling people. You know, this is what I've done my whole life is work in that business. And there's a lot of, you know, get rich quick schemes. There's a lot of con artists. What really separates DDP, you can say whatever you want about him. He'll promote DDP all day long, but he believes everything he says. And if he doesn't believe everything he says and he doesn't believe what he's putting out there, we're not having these results. So I think that's definitely the secret sauce. And I think you said it perfectly. I heard a quote from Dr. Drew Pinsky recently on there. He said, I never want to stand in between somebody and their rock bottom, because the rock bottom is where the changes are really happening. And I think there's something to that, too. I think that you sometimes – you know, you look at all these programs where some celebrity or some football player gets sent to some posh rehab center in Hawaii to spend 2 months in the sun. And, you know, sometimes those don't stick. But when you got nothing left, you ain't got nothing to lose. And I think that's where you kind of figure out who you are. And I'm glad that you're on the other side of that. I'm glad Jake's on the other side of that buff. And I think that there's amazing hope and there's amazing things that come after rock bottom if you really put the effort in. And you seem to have really, you know, more than most, risen to the challenge, and I'm really excited for you, and I'm rooting for you, man.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm all about giving back. So I mean, I could not have gotten this far unless other people had given to me in this community. And so, you know, I have been absent as a champion for the last few months because I have been so ingrained in my training for this ultra marathon. But I'm going to definitely step back in with posts. I've been taking a break from social media, and there's definitely people that are going to need to hear my story, because it was other people's stories that helped inspire me. So.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, they say there's always some place to go, and that's the final step. Once you've become an elder statesman in the community, it's on to you guys to go and help the next group of people coming through, or be there as a sounding board or some advice. And that's another recovery. You know, I know AA, that big step right there is, you know, giving back and being there for somebody else. And I think that's a huge boost to the community. And that's how it keeps evolving. That's how it keeps going, is people helping people helping people. And I think you're going to be a great asset to a lot of people in that way.
Right on, man. Well, thank you. Well, thank you guys both for giving me the chance to tell my story. That's, you know, alcoholics love talking about ourselves. So, you know, I like to seize that opportunity every chance I get.
Well, I mean, usually, like, I used to go to Weight Watchers and stuff all the time. And one thing I complained about is, you know, I think AA has cooler stories than Weight Watchers, so I'll listen to your stories all day more than mine.
I agree. They get a lot more.
I had cake for breakfast again today. All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us, and we're going to wrap things up with Crystal's quote of the week, and then we will head on out of here. But Crystal, what you got for us?
I picked this quote out after researching Kenny's story. It just seemed perfect. So the quote is by the 1%, and it is, it's not over when you lose. It's over when you quit.
Yeah, that's good.
I love it. I love it. That's a good one. And, you know, just because you lose something too, that's not all, doesn't mean it's a failure too. I think that's an important, you know, losing is character building, and losing is, you know, is important if you're planning on ever winning. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Kenny Dunn. And thank you, Krista Stewart. It was a pleasure talking to you. I hope you come back. And it was really really enjoyable. Thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you. The pleasure was mine.
Thank you.
Crystal, have a great week. Enjoy the snow up there. Just in time for spring.
Gee, thanks.
We'll see you guys soon.
All right.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the Diamond Cutter.
I don't believe it. Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb.
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work and, most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.